Welcome to the Ann Arbor Mentality Podcast, Season 2, now on YouTube. Please click and subscribe.
I am your host, Dion Pittman, alongside Mr. Ed Williams.
Hello, everybody. What's going on? Enjoying the winter starting up there?
Like we said, we know Nichols Arcade, everyone's getting ready up there, getting all the decorations, all the stuff's going on, the pumpkin spice lattes. I know you guys are getting it up there, the North Faces.
Han Solo outfits maybe for all the young ladies.
Maybe a throwback triple fat goose here or there, maybe?
Canada goose.
Canadian goose. Uh-oh. Remember the dollar exchange back in the day? We used to get so much more. I don't think it is as big as like it used to be.
Oh, well, that's another reason we went to Windsor at 19. And the crepe bars.
Molson Triple X.
Oh, man, and we didn't have to show nothing either. There was nothing. You would just drive through most of the time. On the way back, right, they would check you, though. I got a funny story about that. I'm not going to say any names, but I might use some initials. But one RP was in the back of the truck, just Earling. He started off Earling in the front, Earled all over the side, was Earling in the back, and we had to pull through. And he started Earling when we were at the border.
Oh, man. For our non-Michiganders, Earling means throwing up. Give me a quarter. I got to call Earl. Throwing up. Threw my pickles on the rug. In my hoopty. Well, today we're going to be talking, of course, about Ann Arbor mentality. But there is a building that has been sitting in Ann Arbor forever. We used to try and get into it. It's probably been closed down, man, minimum 20 years when I was there. And before that, there's no telling. It could have been 30, could have been this and that. But this is a historic building right next to the upstairs Pinball Pete's. And this building has been sitting there unoccupied, like I said, for all these years. But it has a very, very dark tone to it, very gothic, very dark. I mean, the windows, everything is like dark about it. It sits across from the sidewalk. But I can remember, I don't know if you remember this or not, a lot of the punk rockers and the smokers, the people who were smoking cigarettes or whatever, they would sit on top of the brick wall, and it was high. I mean, it was like 6 foot tall, so you couldn't see the house unless you looked through the little gate. But all the punk rockers, skinheads, this and that, whatever, skaters would sit on top and they'd smoke their cigarettes. People would hang out there forever. I don't know if you remember that part or not, but that was like the hangout spot.
Yeah, no, I don't really recall this place.
Yep, definitely. It was right there in the cut, but the literal fence, it hit it, because you would walk by it, like you left Pinball Pete's, you'd walk towards the diag, and you would walk past this brick wall, and then there was a small gate, and even the gate was a little, you know, just, it wasn't like so easy to look through. You'd have to like look through it. But if you're walking and talking, like hundreds of people, thousands of people, you probably walk right past it and not even know it's there.
Wow.
Yeah. So we always, you know, we always wonder what it was. A lot of people are like, is this a church, this or that? But so this is a historic building called the DKE Shant Building. And this is on Ann Arbor. This is on William Street. So literally for the people that used to go to Pinball Pete's, if you walked out of Pinball Pete's, on your right would be Campus Bike and Toy across the street. And then on your left, you walk up towards the diag. It's right there. And right behind it is literally the side of the classic McDonald's brick building, McDonald's, and then Nichols Arcade, obviously, after that.
Okay.
Yep. And so this was the Delta Kappa Epsilon family. Now, there's so many stories out of this place, from rituals, seances. I mean, you name it, the stories go on and on. What's real, what's not, we don't know. But we do know, last time it was open, I heard they opened it and they're still letting people through every now and then. But there sits a throne in there. And just picture a dark church looking, very, very dark, historic looking building. Walk inside, big throne sitting there.
Wow.
Right? So this building's known as the Shant. It's also known as one of the most unique buildings on the University of Michigan campus. Yeah. And if you think about it, it really is. I mean, we got a lot of architecture there, but this one is like, I don't think there's any other thing like it there at all.
Wow. You know? Oh, I know the house you're talking about now. I just remembered it. Yeah. Now I remember it. Yeah. I always wondered what that place was too.
Yep.
We always called it Dracula's house.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, we would hop the fence. We would go to the door. You try and look in. I mean, I'm sure with like me knowing everyone, people tried to get in. But back then we just couldn't.
Yeah. I remember all the goth kids and stuff from Community now being over there and always hanging out and and smoking cigarettes and just chilling and stuff too. Yeah.
Yep.
Now it's all coming back to me for sure. I know exactly the place you're talking about.
Yep. So now here's some cool stuff about it. The architect is William LeBaron Genet. Now, he's later known as the father of the American skyscrapers. I mean, here we go. Ann Arbor with his history.
And it's on William Street.
Yes.
Yeah, so
and he
named after him.
He designed the building. Yep, exactly. There you go. Boom, boom. And so he designed the building from the Ormarion. I'm gonna murder this. Ormicron chapter of DKE at U of M, where he taught some of his first courses in architecture. So he was the teacher at U of M, designed that building, and went on to be known as the father of the American skyscraper. Like, that's pretty gangster. Yeah. Yep. And so nobody really knows exactly where the name the Shant came from, it says, when I was doing my research on there. But designed, it was a 13th century French style. It's a two-story building. Once again, it's not that big, but it does have two stories. I heard about the basement too. Some people said they've actually made it to the basement. Now here's the fun part, which I found out just the other day, thanks to the Townies page. I asked questions about it. I was getting a lot of information. It's connected to the underground tunnel system at the University of Michigan campus, which we might have to do a little more research on this because there was a lot of people talking about it. There's a full underground tunnel system going on through the University of Michigan.
Oh, and for sure.
I think we talked about this when Noah got down there one day and he took off and he was gone and we went in there for a little bit. It was just way too far. We're like, we're not going no farther, but he was a little more, you know, wanted to see what was going on, but that whole system, it might be interesting to find out what's going on with this underground, do an episode on that, because they said, when you go down into the tunnel system from the basement of that building, you'll see like the members' names, like, engraved on the walls and stuff like that of the fraternity members and all this crazy stuff.
Well, so what a lot of people don't understand about the Masons, they get it confused often. What is a Mason, right? It's a bricklayer. Okay. And they knew how to build things really well like that. And for the American Revolution, that's where they came into play, because there's all kinds of tunnels all over the country. And they were like hidden systems to like basically like thwart the British, you know, and take over. So a lot of people mistake it, like, you know, Illuminati or something. But no, Masons were just the people who, and they were secret with it, because you have to be secret when you're doing stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Like I told you, Chloe Duke's father, rest in peace. Their house had a tunnel that went over to the main castle part. It was like a castle side house, if you will. So there was apparently a tunnel that apparently went under the river somehow to a castle over there.
Interesting.
So all over Ann Arbor, there's some tunnels, and you know, that's someone we know.
Right. Yep. Same with Brian Liddy. His parents had a house that had a tunnel in it too. Folklore theory and theory was that it was, somebody said it was a gangster. I forget the name, that he owned the house and that was his getaway. It was the house, the tunnel underneath his fountain to the barn. And that's where he would drive his car off. It was for when it went down.
Yeah.
You know, another house in Arbor with tunnel systems underneath the house, you know,
right.
That's just what we know because of our friends.
Yeah. And don't sleep, that probably we're going to find when we dig into this, that a lot of it would have to do with the Underground Railroad, because Michigan, Detroit was famously known as like the end of the Underground Railroad. Like,
right.
That's where you get to and you're good, you know?
Yep. Yep. That's the truth right there.
Yeah.
So this building that we're talking about, this Shant, the DKE, it was never used to house fraternity members. because it's not that big, like a frat house. It's not that huge, even though there is two floors. But they did have a house which was at 1912 Getty's. And that's before DKE secured the current home, which is now supposedly at 1004 Olivia Ave. So this house was used for basically like a club slash ceremonies slash fraternity stuff, you know, but people didn't actually live there.
Wow.
And so it says in what I was researching that over time, DKE, the fraternity, they lifted the veil of secrecy surrounding the Shant building years ago. The members allowed people to step foot inside the house, and the brick wall outside was constructed in 1901. And it said specifically to keep people off of the property, to keep them away. It says the walls inside the Shant, they're lined with photographs of the DKE alumni. Now, here's the kicker, which I know we're going to get into this later on in this research of Ann Arbor, including five U.S. presidents, Rutherford B. Hayes, Theodore Roosevelt, U of M grad Gerald Ford,
of course,
George H. Bush, or tell me George H.W. Bush and George W. Bush.
Yeah, but that's not at the University of Michigan, though.
No, these are members of the DKE.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. The only member was, I think, Gerald Ford, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
As far as I know, yeah, I'm pretty sure.
As far as we know, right?
Yeah, I'm sure I would have come across that if there was. But, you know, Gerald Ford, University of Michigan football.
Amen. Now, here's a, I don't want to say fun, but, you know, frat houses and party and this and that. After the DKE's chapter house on Getty's Road burned down in 68. I don't know if it had to do anything with that. It didn't say why, but the chapter ceased to hold regular meetings at the empty Shant and was repeatedly vandalized nonstop. So I guess when the house, their big member house built down or burned down, they stopped holding their meetings, everything, I guess, probably get everything back in order. But in 1971, the late Detroit 313 industrial list, William V. Cassegrain and other Omicron chapter alumni, they renovated the structure to function again as an on-campus club for DKE students. So in 71, so it sounds like there was some pretty bad vandalism that happened to that building after the fire on Getty's Road to their frat house. Crazy, with a strong brick structure like that, how bad was the damn vandalism? They go in there with sledgehammers?
Well, no, they mean
'60s.
Yeah, but people would break in, hang out, party, probably spray paint. You know, I don't know that back then they were already doing graffiti, but you know, I'm sure they was spray painting.
Right.
I know that's been going on, but and another interesting Gerald Ford fact is that during his presidency. Okay. He would often have and instruct the bands to play Hail to the Victors in replacement of Hail to the Chief.
There you go.
And he also had another request at his funeral on a sad note, but it's also really cool. He had instructions for the University of Michigan marching band to play it at his funeral, and they played like a very slow rendition of Hail to the Victors.
Wow.
At his funeral.
That's gangster.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's gangster right there.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we can get in. Who is this guy, Gerald Ford? You said he was a president. He was a president.
University of Michigan grad.
Yes, University of Michigan grad, president number 38, right? Number 48 on the Michigan football team. Number 38, Presidente of the United States of America. Gerald Ford. And that's no relationship to the Ford Motor Company family, right? They're separate families?
Yeah, no relation.
No relation?
No.
Okay. So I know he's got his wife, Betty Ford, which is obviously a lot of people know about her. That name just rings bells when you hear it, right? Betty Ford Foundation, this, that.
Right.
Jeez. Talk about some names that hold weight.
Yeah.
That's definitely legacy right there.
For sure. Great family.
So, right? Going back to the DKE, to them, some of the artifacts that are still around include the Hattles, you know, because used to get a paddling. You probably still do in the fraternity. I don't even know. Are they still paddling, folks?
I don't know. Probably not. But everybody's got a cell phone.
Right.
But just alone, the stuff that I saw working at Pizza House until 4 a.m. was it was crazy stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't like it. I never liked any of that stuff, man. And they are just it's crazy how they talk to them and how they do them. It's crazy.
I've heard and seen wild stuff myself. Now, here's just to give you an idea about how big of the fraternity is too. Like, one of the photographs that they have shows the DKE flag when it was carried to the North Pole by its discovery. So I guess their flag was in the North Pole for somebody went there.
Yeah.
Dropped the flag. That's hardcore.
Yeah. You know?
That's some hardcore stuff. But yeah, DKE alumni, Mr. Gerald Ford, who he donated to the Rampart Lion Foundation. So the Rampart Lion Foundation, from what I understand, wouldn't allow new tenants to come into that building. It's like it's very protected. Like, obviously, it's still sitting there. Like, it was unoccupied for like 30 to 40 years. Prime real estate. But I guess a church is now thinking about taking it over or blah. But you just can't do anything to the structure. You can't. It's just like it's like solidly protected. And when you see it, because it's like, once again, it's not like a huge building. It's like this little building in the middle of everything.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure everyone's probably tried to, but it's been protected for over 30, 40 years. Like, it's some strong protection on that building.
Yeah. By all that money.
Right.
You know how rich those people are?
I know. You know how many people try to offer money for that? We want to build a condo here. I'm like, no, we're okay.
Yeah. We got a couple extra billion.
Right. We just wanted to sit empty for a half a century. That's what we want to do.
Yeah. You think it's sitting empty.
Yeah, right. With the tunnel system.
Yeah, they're popping up in some Elon Musk tunnels and now.
Yeah. Oh, man. Having their little rituals. DKE. Well, that's like we said, Mr. Gerald Ford, Michigan alumni, DKE person, number 48. His position on there was he was center class of 35. Mr. Ford, he majored in economics. You know what I mean? His college history was University of Michigan, obviously, and his high school history, which a lot of people that know him probably already know about this, but, you know, Grand Rapids South, I guess that's his original home base starting right there. Also where he had his funeral in Grand Rapids also.
Wow.
Career highlights on the football team, 2 national championships, 32-33, the Meyer Morton Award in 32, Michigan MVP.
Let's go.
34, right. Mr. Number 48, they retired his jersey, number 48. And like I said, once again, doing a little research on just him and his career, you know, they had some pretty interesting stories. This is one of the cool little stories, which I was checking out. I said, during Ford's senior year, a controversy developed when Georgia Tech said it would not play a scheduled game against the University of Michigan if a player named Willis Ward took the field. This was a black player.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, we're not going to play you guys if this guy jumps on the field.
Yep.
So you know how Ann Arbor is, you know, the students, players, the alumni, everybody protested.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were always ahead of the game. But the university officials capitulated and kept him out of the game. You know, the officials, I guess they have the power, the strength to do that.
NCAA. it probably wasn't even the NCAA back then.
That's true, right?
I was just making a joke.
But later on, President Ford, but he repeatedly threatened to quit the University of Michigan in response to this decision. He said, I'm quitting you guys. You know, he didn't want his name involved in anything that had to do with this. You know, kudos to him, you know, for making a stand. This is before he was president. So this is when he was a football player.
Yep.
But he eventually agreed to play against Georgia Tech when Willis Ward personally asked Mr. Ford to play. So that was a really cool little story, which I had never heard about before.
Oh yeah, I know all about it. I actually have the jersey over here in the closet that represents that exact thing. It's the number 4, and there's 2 pieces of the 4 that come over off of the vertical line, and it represents like the arm coming over and solidarity and holding your brother, and that's what it's all about, that exact moment, that jersey that I have. It's pretty cool.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. We'll have to show that one time on the show. You have to pull that bad boy out.
Oh yeah, for sure. I'll throw up a little picture or something.
Hell yeah. But in honor of all the accomplishments Mr. Ford did, you know, for the University of Michigan, they retired his number 48 at the game in 1994 at halftime when we were playing MSU, Michigan State University. Said they had about 100,000 fans stood up at the big house when they were doing it. He was there. Some MS fans did too. And when I heard some MS fans did too, the commentators were joking, but at the same time, I think they might have been a little bit serious. I don't know if all the Michigan's MSU fans stood up when they were putting the jersey up. But, you know, it's a game, right?
Yeah.
Wartime. Yeah. Because halftime, ain't nobody won yet, right?
Yeah, right.
I ain't getting them.
As a Michigan fan, I know better than that.
Woo, good Lord. That's wild. And it says, with the blessing of the Ford family, because, you know, he's got some interesting people in his family who still go out and represent him. His jersey was placed back into circulation in 2012 as part of the Michigan Football Legends program. And I wouldn't mind copping one of those. That'd be pretty dope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm 48.
An authentic.
Ooh, right.
M-Dan.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was also thinking, too, about that Willis Ward. I'd like to figure out his number. That'd be dope to have one of his jerseys, too.
Right.
Right? people be like, who is that? You mean you have Willis Ward? Like, oh, that's how you start conversations right there. Boom, boom.
You rock the Ward, and I'll rock the Ford. Let's go.
There you go. Ward and Ford. So,
and then we'll go to Zingerman's over in the first ward.
Mm.
Or was that the fourth ward? No, that's the first ward.
Right, first ward, right?
Yeah, first ward.
Thank you to Christine Crockett for giving us that info.
Shout out.
Yeah, but Ford graduated in the top third of his class in 41, and he was admitted into the Michigan bar shortly after that. In May 41, he opened a Grand Rapids law practice with a friend, Philip Booking, right? Just going hard. Some fun facts about President Ford, number 48, University of Michigan player Ford. When he was at university, he worked 2 jobs, which can be done, everybody, while you're in school, included waiting tables at the University of Michigan Hospital, washing dishes at his fraternity. And in 2000, that's always fun.
Not
65
yeah. Animals. Filthy animals.
Now, this is a fun fact, which I think we're going to have to dive into and get a little more. I was watching some speeches on this. So 68, let me make sure I get this number right. 65 years after his graduation from the University of Michigan, the 38th president of the United States returned his alma mater for the remaining of the U of M school. So he came back to rename the U of M School of Public Policy into the Gerald H. Ford School of Public Policy, which I really didn't know anything about this. I remember seeing Ford on certain things with the school and this and that, but doing a little deep dive in there. And it's there's this thing, which I think we might have to look into a little more, but it's called the Spirit of Gerald Ford. And it ties right into almost like this whole Ann Arbor mentality, which had me thinking today, you know, it's like Ann Arbor is University of Michigan and University of Michigan is Ann Arbor. It's like, there's not really, you can't separate it because they're both like they're intertwined, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Well, and I think I've always said, without the University of Michigan, it would be like Saline.
Right.
You know, it wouldn't be what Ann Arbor is. As it is.
No, there's no way.
I mean, it is still nice land, however you put it. You know how wherever you were in the surrounding areas and it would be like rainy and cloudy, and then you would get to Ann Arbor and it would clear up and be like a sunny day somehow. And that's just the topography of the area. That's so it would always be a nice area, but like I said, Saline's nice, but it's not Ann Arbor. No disrespect. It's just not the same thing. It's, you know.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because this is what ties right into this whole Gerald Ford School of Public Policy. He's had to do some research. But what it is, it's bringing all these minds from around the world, and they're looking for great minds to come and discuss what do we do next, whether it's climate change, whether it's inclusion equity for Blacks, minorities. It's literally bringing all these different brains in from everywhere around the world to come to the University of Michigan and talk about issues.
Yeah.
Like, it's wild when I was looking at some of the speeches and just like understanding the structure of this school. And
Ann Arbor has always been a place that you were like free to do that. You know, right. You were always free to come in and speak your wild, you know, thoughts and opinions on things.
Yep.
And people wouldn't, you know, laugh at
they
you.
They would allow it. Yeah.
They'll give they'll give you a listen. You know?
Yep. They'll give you the steps of the diag if you want. Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Oh, it's all the time. Like I said, every time I go back, one's happening. Every time. I always pass through and check it out, too. I always just like kind of like take a little video or whatnot. I got a couple of those in the vaults, so I might have to break them out. Yeah.
That's interesting. We'll have to look at that, because in America, you have the right to public protest, right? It's a right instilled in the Constitution, right?
Yes.
So anytime, if you feel like it, especially in a place like University of Michigan, you can go set up shop on the diag, draw as many people as you want, and you could have thousands of people there, but they allow you to do it. They're like, this is your legal right. I don't care if you got 10 people or 1,000 people. They can't tell you no.
No, no, no. And the amount of people you draw, you know, that's on, you know, that's on society, and that's what they believe in. That's what we believe in, you know. If people are going to show up and want to hear that, then obviously there's a need for somebody to hear it, you know. If that many people are feeling it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You know what? We should probably do a deep dive into the protest culture at Harvard and go back to where maybe like police and people were trying to stop protests.
Oh,
there's rich history there.
I'm sure it is. Absolutely. Right? Yeah, yeah. But, you know, Ann Arbor's always had that counterculture vibe that, you know, question everything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know? That's what we do.
See, and when you say that right there, that I'm telling you, like, this whole Gerald Ford School, that's just like it right there. It's like question everything. It's like talk it out, figure out different ways. Is this working? Is this not working? Which is very interesting in this whole public policy world. You know, I haven't done a deep dive into public policy, but just when I was looking through the school and the lectures and the speakers, it's exactly like what you said, like question everything. Is this working? I don't think so. You got a better answer. Let's try this.
Yeah.
Counter. Well, I don't think we should try this. You know, back and forth, boom, spirit of debate, spirit of protest. I mean, Ann Arbor, like you said, what's on your mind? Speak it. All right, let's test it.
And I've always used that as here's another Ann Arbor thing that I've used in my life. I've always used that as a power of mine. I hate to use the word weakness, but I always found that to be a weakness of people when they were kind of close-minded to other people's things, and they would just shut down like, oh, that's stupid, not even discuss it or whatever. Cause you know, there's value in everything, and you can find little bits and pieces there and formulate your own opinions and use it creatively, use it mentally. It's very, you know, it can be very stimulating too, to try to grasp new concepts and, you know, whether it's crap to you or not, you know what I mean? Why not have that open mindset? And that's always been a thing that I found in Ann Arbor. Well, getting to community high school also helps that, because you don't get that as much in the other public schools, even though you do get that from the people, because, you know, it rubs off from the parents. You know, it's just the way it is.
But would another city allow a community high school in their city? You know what I mean?
Not really, because they didn't really like us so much back then in Ann Arbor, right? Like,
how many years did it take to be?
But it was accepted enough to be there, and it was accepted that those type of kids could flourish. And then you see those type of kids going into the community and doing major things. So other people that maybe were closed-minded are like, wait a minute. Okay, that person was like a crazy kid with a mohawk, and now he's killing it with a store, with a business, doing something for the community, doing something outside of Ann Arbor. How many cases of that have we found? It's endless. There's so much success from allowing the youth to just flourish in their own way, and I'll always believe in that. I've always said that we hold some kids back. We all know those kids in the sixth grade that were already way smarter, and you're like, wow, they're like as smart as an adult, and you're thinking that as a kid, right? And I feel school always kind of held them back in a way. Like, there should be more schools like that even early on, like a community high for elementary school, to where gifted kids like that could go and possibly flourish. You know, you can always go back.
There are some hidden ones. Yep. But you know, you made me think, you know, like, let's think of community high school, let's think of hip-hop music. How long did it take for these things to become like not just mainstream, but I want this. Like, now the waiting list to get into community high school is ridiculous. Like,
well, don't sleep. When we were going to community, hip hop was not at all accepted by, I'd say, the majority of the people. And it was almost hated. And we had to get in little arguments about it all the time and stuff, and like defend ourselves, the music, the art,
but even the radio stations.
Oh, that was, forget about it. You only got to hear a little bit of things. And just so you know, what was played on the radio was not what we were bumping. It was rare to have a radio hit that we were really rocking like that, because it was different. You know, I hate to say underground, but it truly was underground.
Underground,
you know?
Yeah.
It truly was then. Yeah.
And the same with the students at community high school. Well, I mean, we were underground. They were skaters. They were mohawkers. They were skinheads. They were punk rockers. They were,
but at the same time, artists. I've said it on previous podcasts. I had musicians. I had jazz musicians. I had sharp skins. Yep. I had all those type of people that were also really into hip hop, and we would hang out and bump stuff and have great discussions. It was, you know, so it was also one of the most accepting places for things like that, you know?
So somehow we need to, I think we need to, you know, share this Ann Arbor mentality with the world, because everything is getting so one-sided on everything. Listen to the radio, listen to cancel culture, listen to this. You can say, you can't say this, you can't say, okay, like where we come from, none of us like the Ku Klux Klan, but they had the right to go do their little protests at the freaking post office with police and everything there. Of course, nobody wanted them there. Who wants the Ku Klux Klan in your city? But it's a right, and things are getting so one-sided to where you have to agree with me. And if you don't, then either we're going to cancel you, or there's something crazy with you. And none of us, like we said in our whole, none of us ever agreed on everything, but we allowed you, as long as you're not hurting someone, as long as you're not stealing from me, physically harming me, you know, you're allowed into our circles, but don't start stealing from me. Don't, you know what I mean? Hit me, you know, all that stuff. But you're allowed to have your own vision, your own thought. It's an Ann Arbor mentality thing. But a lot of people nowadays are not allowing people. They don't want you to have your own vision or your own thought. It's like,
I truthfully believe that that's the internet. I truthfully believe all of that is the internet. And I believe people are controlled by the internet by holding up their phones from 7 a.m. until they go to sleep. And that's the first thing you reach for. And everyone's just programming themselves, just scrolling and programming themselves. And you're just hearing regurgitated crap from things that you want to hear. And you can fall into a bunch of lies and crap and deceit and fog, you know. You can fall into that real quickly when you're just hearing regurgitated bullcrap from a bunch of people that don't know what they're talking about in the first place. You know what I mean? It's amazing when you turn off that internet and you're not looking at that phone and reading it, and you're actually just going out and looking people eye to eye and speaking with them about these things. And you have to still have an open mindset, and you have to not get angry, even if they're saying things that you don't like or whatever. And then that's the way you get to them and build. That's that Tom Dodd. You know what I mean? Did you ever see that guy get offended or angry about something? But I'll tell you what, he would say something clever, and in his way, you'll go walking away and think about it, and you'll be thinking about it for 2-3 days. Like, wow.
Yeah.
And he'll get a point across to you, you know?
That's why it's so important for us to be out into the public. You know, COVID messed up a lot of stuff with children, with people, but it's so important now to get out there, to have your views challenged, to have your thoughts spoken, to have your ideas put out into the world, to have someone say, no, that's not impossible. Why, or why is it impossible? You know, to have all these conversations, these back and forths, to get your ideas, thoughts out of your head, and to be challenged. If you're not being challenged, like you said, then you're just like a one track mind. I'm right. But it, you know, it's like the schoolyard. You know, kids growing up with other kids, they need to be challenged. That's the whole controversy. Are bullies good? Are bullies bad? You know, there's good and bad in bullies in the schoolyard. You know, they kind of, you know.
If you're a bully, it's bad. But there's also the whole thing. And I don't condone violence. I don't like violence. I wish we could do away with it completely, because I think we can be that smart. And I think that's a part of the Ann Arbor mentality, you know. Ann Arbor hustle smarter, you know. We don't have to, you know, get crazy. But, yeah, man, that's just the way it is for us. And that's the way we got to try to move forward, I think, or at least the way it used to be for us. I don't know who us is anymore sometimes, because,
you know,
Ann Arbor's changing too. Yeah. It's not the same. And that's why we're here talking about it. And that's why we're here doing this. You know, it's a big thing.
It's society. It's society, you know. You're going to have bullies in the schoolyard. You're going to have bullies on the streets. You're gonna have bullies in gangs. You're gonna have bullies in military. You're gonna have bullies at the workplace, even if you work in office.
Oh no, you have to learn how to deal with it for sure. That's breaking through in life. But here's what I was trying to get to just earlier is, I don't condone violence, but too many people have gotten way too comfortable with saying whatever they want to say to someone over the internet and not being face to face and getting punched in the mouth. Because there's people that say stuff constantly, and it's just bad for the mental psyche of humanity to be hearing and saying that stuff, even if you're just typing it. Like, it's horrible. Like, some of the stuff you see and hear, and like, it's just insane to me. Like, if you said that to another man face to face back in the day, and like, you're getting socked in the mouth for that, you know. And while, you know, like I said, I don't condone violence, and you should try to use your words and talk it through and get through to this person or something, but you know, there's people that are just gotten too loose with it, you know.
That's why it's so important for us, especially now that COVID, you know, we're post-COVID, you're still dealing with it, to get out there, to interact, to have your kids out there interacting, because that's how, it's like checks and balances. Oh, that's coming out of your mouth, you're getting checked. You know, that's just how it is. You know, you can fly off the hinges and be buck wild, but society, whether it's the bully or just society in general, they're gonna check your ass. It might be the police. And so people need to be out talking, interacting, touching, you know, not like you said, not just behind the internet, just going to war, typing, but out there face to face, because the world's gonna bring you back to reality.
Listen, you know? In the late 70s, early 80s in Ypsilanti, Michigan, on the east side, if you were getting bullied or somebody punched you or something, do you know what 9 out of 10's fathers did? Immediately grabbed you up and put you in the passenger seat and went right to the front door.
No seatbelt either.
And put you to the front door. They would go up and knock, have a little conversation with the father. And I'd say 7 times out of 10, you might have to fight right there, each other in the front yard, or apologize to each other. You know what I'm saying? Right.
Face to face,
one or the other, but it's going to get settled right now.
Yep.
Face to face, eye to eye. And we're going to talk about it, like men, like women, you know, whoever's answering that door, you know, and that's the way it was.
And that's the way real life is, you know, kids growing up, whether you're on the schoolyard or in the street, if somebody lays hands on you, you have to protect yourself. You know,
there's crazy people out there still. And I'm just talking crazy. I'm not talking about, oh, I have a little ADD or no, I'm talking about crazy people. And if you run your mouth or do the wrong thing or say the wrong thing at the wrong time to one of these crazy people, you could possibly get yourself killed out there, you know. So you got to learn those things too.
You know how to
you know, get through the day.
when you say that, you really make me think. We might have to touch on this later in another episode, but the whole Ann Arbor mentality with the Detroit. It's like Ann Arbor, you know, you have this mentality, but then you learn a little bit of the roughness, the hardness of Detroit or Flint. And that right there, this like checks and balances, you learn at a young age.
That's Southeast Michigan. Yeah, that's Southeast Michigan.
You know,
factory culture.
It's getting dark. You know what I mean? Like, you learn that at a young age, how to talk to people, because like you said, it might be a woman from Detroit and she's going to check your ass quick. And if you talk crap, girls might be upside your head with some 40-ounce bottles.
That'll happen.
You're big and bad. You know it. Belle Isle.
Don't be disrespectful.
I'm telling you.
You got to learn. Don't be loose with the lips.
And you know what? I think that's one thing we can get into it later, but like the cultures, like especially when I started like going to Miami and this and that, you know, when I'm seeing people wearing like big gold chains and this and that, I'm like, wow, like it's so much more free down here. Cause I remembered you can talk to people like that. Cause I remember coming from up north, like you can't talk to people like that. A grown woman will check your ass and you're a big ass man, but she will check your ass. And if you, and if she, she'll take off the earrings and go head up with a dude. You know what I mean? And I remember when coming down south of Miami, it was a different culture. It was more free. Like, oh, you can pop off after. I remember seeing people pop off at the mouth, and I'm like, oh, it's about to go down. I'm like, it didn't go down. I'm like, huh? And it was just new. It was new territory for me.
Growing up, like I said, man, you know, it was a different thing. And there was a certain amount of disrespect that just wasn't tolerated. So if someone said something that they were going to do something, and then if they knucked up and run up on you, a punch was getting thrown. It's none of this, none of this shoulder stuff. Hold me back. Hold me back. None of that. Punches was getting thrown.
And it sounds like such a male dominated thing. But no, we're talking aunts. Mothers, grandmothers,
sisters.
There was a certain level you could push people, and then it might be grandma. Oh, grandma's about to go in.
Yeah.
We could say that for another podcast, those mentalities of, because Ann Arbor, it gave you light on all different angles, education, street life, this, that, because you had all this stuff surrounding you, which educated you. I don't know, you know, hopefully people are still out there getting that. You know, they're not just sitting at home, like we said, on the computers, on the phones, like they're out and about still. I hope they are, because there's so much game you can get from Ann Arbor with all the people coming in from out of the, from around the world, plus the surrounding cities, Detroit, Flint, all these other places. There's so much game, and we all know that you can get living in Ann Arbor if you're out of the house and you're out and about. But like you said, if you're stuck at home, you're on this computer and all this stuff's going on the campus in Detroit and all this stuff, I can see how you could totally miss Ann Arbor game, which probably takes me back to why people say how bad Ann Arbor is. Like, Ann Arbor sucks. And when I hear people say that, I'm like, who are you hanging out with? Like, who's your circle of influence? Because those words never came out of my mouth when I was, you know, so I think it's really important who you surround yourself with. And if you're stuck in the basement on the computer typing away, Ann Arbor might suck.
You don't even have to be in the basement. Everybody's on their phone 24/7, so they're walking through downtown like this.
So there you go.
Put the phone away, walk around, look up, don't even use maps to find somewhere, walk into some places, creep in through some alleys, go through the little back spots. There's so many dope little back alleys and fire escape little parts, and you know what I mean? Like, you can just find little parts to be alone and chill and, you know,
kick. Say good afternoon. Say good evening to those people walking by you on the streets. Don't just have your head down walking through the crowd.
Yeah, get into a conversation. New York. You might learn something.
New York stuff, right? That New York, that ain't. Yeah, but that's not us.
No. See, don't slip. Everybody says about New York, but it's not true. When I went there, I had so much fun walking around and talking to people. And once again, Ann Arbor prepared me for that. It's like 6 square miles of New York dropped in the Midwest, basically, you know, without the tall buildings and everything. But it's like a little chunk of New York just dropped, you know, take one neighborhood in New York, drop it in the Midwest. And New York people were really kind. I met so many cool people just in the streets. We were kicking it. I had so much fun. I love New York for that too. Don't sleep on people. Always get that mistaken, you know. But if you're cool, basically that's everywhere I've ever went. If you're cool and open minded and accepting, man, you can get down anywhere. And that's what I know.
Sounds like Ann Arbor mentality.
Yeah, sure is.
judge a man on his character, not his color or his job or his CEO status. Judge him on his character.
But anyhow, everybody, we're out of here for the day. And, you know, keep up the Ann Arbor mentality. Come check for us on YouTube. We're still on everywhere else that podcasts are available. Please check on us there. Download them if you could. It helps us out. Please, please, please support the Ann Arbor Mentality podcast.
And dig a little deeper on Gerald Ford and what we talked about today, because there's a lot more information out there, plus the Ford Public Policy School at the University of Michigan. Amazing lectures, amazing information on YouTube, etc. Go visit. If you're in town, go visit. Tell them, you know, Anna, tell them, you know, Ed and Dion, Ann Arbor Mentality. And be like, they're going to be like, what?
And if you're at the end of your rope, tie a knot. Hang on.
There you go. All right, y'all. Peace and that hair grease. We see y'all soon.
Hey, Stu.
Blue.